go. What's up, Pelicans fans? Here for Pelicans Transform. And I'm in my mom's apartment. That's why there's some random Christmas music playing. Brian, we can't escape Christmas. Oh, you can't hear it? Good. Okay.
No.
So, Brian, this is my co-host, Brian, everybody, my good friend. And did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, definitely. How about you?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was pretty low-key. We're going to drive out of town, you know, on New Year's Eve and go see my wife's family in the Houston area.
Awesome. Yeah, we haven't really done much on New Year's since, you know, Brandon was born. So our tradition is just all falling asleep on the couch watching movies.
Hey, that's fun. What kind of movies?
Whatever we feel like. There's no particular, one to watch. It's just whatever we feel like.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, I just watched Get Out with Pepper last night. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I've been watching a shit ton of horror movies, too, so I could do our best of on the LasserCast for 2023.
It's funny that you watched Get Out last night because I watched Nope last night.
That's fucking crazy. Okay. Was that your first time?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was really good, yeah.
Yeah, I know. He's 3 for 3, I think.
Yeah, I haven't seen Us yet, but I think it's on Netflix for a few more days, so I'll probably get to that in the next few days.
Nice. Yeah, I'll probably watch that with Pepper, too. I'm good to know it's on Netflix for a couple more days, because they take that shit right off there.
Nope was on Amazon, but okay. Us and Get Out are on Netflix a few more days.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Nice. We'll watch that. The Jordan Peele Experience. So today, if you guys are wondering, Brian and I are covering What If Season 2, Episodes 1 through 3. We're basically going to break this down into 3 batches of 3. So it's 3 episodes per show that we do. And this is our last show of 2023.
Oh yeah, that's right, because you'll be away. That's why we're recording early this week. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And do you remember the number I gave you for how many episodes we put up this year?
Oh, it was like 64. This is maybe 65 then?
I think this is going to be 64.
Nice.
It's fucking crazy, right?
Wait, are we still one ahead of the LasserCast?
As far as like post this year, yes. But then like we're like 10 overall ahead too.
Oh, okay, nice. Okay.
Because we've been consistent. Yeah, yeah. So first off, let's talk about each of these episodes. We'll go one by one and then we will rank them as far as like which ones we like the best out of these three. The first one was called What If Nebula Joined the Nova Corps? And I was going to ask you, Brian, did you know what each episode was going to be before you watched it?
No, I didn't look at what the episodes were until I started watching. So, because I think I messaged you earlier today, but there's going to be a 1602 episode dropping today when we're recording.
Yeah.
But other than before that, I didn't know. I the only thing I expected were the two that got cut off of previous seasons. So there's one with like Gamora, like taking Thanos' place in some regard, and there's one where Tony lands on Sakaar instead of Bruce.
That
was supposed to be part of last season, or maybe it's even one episode. I don't even know. And we should be getting at least one of those this season.
Okay.
So,
it's weird with a show like this where it's like an animated show and it's an anthology. They can kind of move it around, and I guess they're not as concerned with continuity as they might be with some live-action thing. So, like, we've been getting those Lego minifig characters at the supermarket. You have those too, right?
I don't. I can't find them because I want those that new series because they have X-Men in it. Because I saw they're releasing the Blackbird in Lego form, and I heard a rumor that there's going to be an expansion. So I'm like, oh shit, I got to get these X-Men figures now.
Nice. Oh shit. Okay. Yeah, I would love to get like a Lego version of that. I've just been getting the minifigs, and we have a lot of them. We have X-Men like Storm and Beast from the animated show. But then what kind of threw me off was there was a figure of Goliath, like the what's his face from The Matrix? What's his name? Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah,
they had like his figure, and I'm like, what the fuck? I was really confused. So I'm like, he's not an Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania.
The character was, but I mean, not with that suit.
Yeah. So then he's in this, he's in the third episode we're going to talk about today.
The second.
Oh man. Yeah. See, that's why you're a good co-host because my brain doesn't work. But, one last thing before we jump into this episode, I actually really loved that they released this like one at a time and that they synced it up so that the Christmas episode was going to be on Christmas Eve. I think that's great.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice little touch there. Although I think that might have been my least favorite episode.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to that after we talk about everything.
Nice, nice. Okay. So I think first off the bat, we can agree that Nebula was one of the best parts of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
100%, yeah. Yeah. I would even say she was one of the best parts of Guardians 2 and basically everything she's been in since she kind of like redeemed herself.
Good old Karen Gillan. She just rocks it. And she's the focus of this episode. First off, did you kind of think that this was like heavily inspired by Blade Runner?
Yes. Okay. All the imagery, the music, the concept. The concept, I guess, doesn't really have much of to do with Blade Runner. But yeah, you definitely got that vibe. She's kind of like a lone wolf cop sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And it totally screams that. And much like I thought the third episode, and they even reference it, is like Die Hard, basically.
Right. The cars, definitely the cars that Nova Corps drove around were like the spinners in Blade Runner. And I mean, definitely. I almost was like, did they just take the model from that and use it for this?
Maybe, who knows?
Right. So two things that you always talk about when we talk about animated shows. You always talk about the quality of the animation and the voice acting. So in this, as far as the voice acting goes, I know they had Karen Gillan. They did not have Glenn Close, right, as Nova Prime?
No. That was one of the few. You know, this show always surprises me with how many of the actors reprise their roles.
Right.
Although there's been an occasion here where, like, I didn't think they did a good job. I'm like, oh, there must have been some fill-in or something like that. But I was very surprised that Jude Law was in the episode. Right. I didn't even realize that was him. I'm like, holy shit, that actually was Jude Law.
I know. I saw him in the credits at the beginning, and then I was like, wait a minute, Jude Law's going to be in it. And then it was interesting because he doesn't sound like Jude Law, really.
Yeah, that was kind of why I pre-lit that comment there. But I do think he did a good job, but I didn't think it was him.
Right. And then Peter, what's his name? Peter Safarinen? How do you say that guy's name?
Serafinowicz.
Serafinowicz. There we go. I'm horrible at names. He's in it too, right? He's like one of the Nova guys.
Yeah, he reprises his role. Yeah. So I think really the biggest thing to me though was that Vin Diesel wasn't Groot.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
This is the first time that he hasn't voiced him.
Oh wow, that's
yeah. Great. That was like the big thing. Apparently, there's some like allegations against him.
What?
That I just heard about because of this show, which is weird. It was sexual battery, I guess, a former assistant. He's denying it. I had to look up what that actually meant, what battery meant. But it was from like 13 years ago on one of the early Fast movies. And who knows what'll happen there? I guess we really weren't expecting to see these characters too many more times.
Yeah.
But I honestly couldn't really tell that it wasn't him.
Yeah. It's such a, like, it's a talking point, I think, that comes up in a lot of videos, not just on our channel, but like when you lock in these people for like contracts that are like a decade long or multiple films, multiple series, it's amazing how many of them start to have like criminal records or things just pop up and you kind of can't get rid of them, you know?
Yeah. Yes. It's weird being famous, I guess. I know you're under a lot of stress and pressure all the time. Maybe things are construed. Maybe there are people out there that are. Here I go, just gaslighting victims. People that are looking for some free money, basically. You know.
Yeah.
Who knows? But I mean, there could be truth to it. I mean, we'll have to wait and see what happens there. I don't think this is as major as like, you know, Jonathan Majors being recast here because, you know, he really does just say one line for the most part. And these characters will be kind of minimized moving forward. There's not going to be any, full on Guardians movies again, I don't think.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the Guardian stuff has kind of come to an end, except for maybe little random cameos like this. But like one of the things that kind of bothers me about the culture, which our show is like very much based in, is that it's revealed that Jonathan Majors is guilty they charged him with a couple of things. They said he was innocent with a few other things. And then it's like the immediate response is, what are they going to do about Kang? It's not like, oh, there was a person that was assaulted or there was a person that was abused. It's like, well, what do they do about Kang? I think our culture has gotten really kind of cynical. Well, and go ahead, Cole. Yeah.
No, you're totally right. The first thought is, how does this affect me? And how does this affect me is the movie that I watch and not this person that I don't know. Yeah, it always does suck that people have to suffer. I mean, people do suffer all around the world, and a lot of these things go unreported too, you know, and people suffer in silence. It's a hard thing. You can't worry about everybody. I do think, you know, it is bad that these people have had these things happen to them, but at the same time, there's no relevance to that of anything in my life, you know?
Right.
So this is what it is that is relevant, and it changes. So, I mean, that's what I would comment on, I guess. I mean, maybe that's heartless. I don't know.
No. That's a really, really good point that's how it's relevant to us. And it's just amazing that there's so much like comic book culture like this, and that these things come up pretty like almost like weekly at this point. But I think that like in general, especially as we go into 2024, there's just going to be less comic book media and I guess therefore less stories like this.
There's barely going to be anything this year at all, but that's more from the strike than anything else. But we'll see if, you know, the supposed declining popularity of comic book movies will have any effect in future years.
Right. So we'll get away from the unfun stuff about this subject and get to the fun stuff. So in this, basically, Nebula, she was betrayed by Ronan. She's left floating in space, and then she's saved by the Nova Corps, specifically Nova Prime, who is Glenn Close in the original Guardians movie. And then she's taken to Xandar, where they decided to put up a shield. Now, I thought that was kind of weird to begin with, because don't they kind of put a shield around Ronan's ship in the movie, the first Guardian?
Yes, they put the shield around the ship to stop it from breaking into the atmosphere, or to slow it down at least. Yeah. This was kind of I really liked the idea of this planet being enclosed and this kind of like, you know, just smaller scale, this issues building, and like, you know, it did feel like Blade Runner. It felt like Dread sort of in a way too.
Yes.
But it's kind of some of the circumstances that lead up to it was just kind of weird. And like, I don't know, like why, first of all, there's only one ship. It's only this one giant ship.
Yeah.
You can see at first, like there's this whole fleet out there, you know, going to annihilate them.
Yeah.
Two, like, where are the Guardians in here? I mean, we do see a few cameos. We see a group, we see Drax, but like, you know, why is Nova being abandoned by Ronan and not Nova, Nebula, getting abandoned and picked up by Nova Prime, changing the events of the Guardians movie?
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of one of the things I had, issues I had with the episode. In addition to kind of how they, you know, who the threat was.
Yeah.
And why. Which we'll just flat out say now, spoilers, that, you know, it was Nova Prime. Nova Prime was trying to get Nebula to hack into the central mainframe and lower the shield. So, because she made a deal with Ronan just so they can get out of the situation they're in, because it's been difficult.
Yeah.
I don't know why they had to set up this elaborate goose chase for her. Well, like, it seems like she had some forces with her. Just capture her and force her to do it. Like, you know?
Then there'd be no
manufactured
story, right?
Manufactured plot here, it felt like. But if you overlook that and the kind of the plot holes like that, I really did like this episode.
Right.
I like the characters that were in it. You know, we have Korg showing up again. We have Howard the Duck, voiced by Taika Waititi and Seth Green, respectively, in addition to Groot and not Vin Diesel. But otherwise, I liked the episode a lot. Just those two kind of points just really stuck out to me.
Yeah, it was interesting because, like, you know, you mentioned Howard the Duck and Groot, and then you were talking about how, like, well, what about the events of Guardians? I think one key thing too is that Ronan betrayed Thanos, and so
Thanos. That's right. I'm sorry. You're right.
So like all the stuff that like would have happened with Thanos after that changed, obviously, right? They showed his like helmet as if Ronan killed him. But I thought it was interesting that like all of these sort of space characters were all trapped on this planet now, as if they all went to Xandar for some reason and then they were trapped when those walls closed. It's interesting, right? Because it shows you how much I really do think, and I've said this before on our show, that like the cosmic stuff, the sort of space stuff is really where Marvel started to like get its groove and it really amped up. And that's when people were really on board. Like once that first Guardians movie was a hit, that's when Marvel like really solidified itself as this power. And you see all these space characters, they've been kind of missing except for in Guardians 3.
Yes. There was that big, I mean, we got Guardians 1 and 2 fairly early on. Guardians 2 was early in whatever phase that was. Yeah. And then they were kind of like put on the wayside and they really just appeared in the big movies in smaller roles. So they were Infinity War, Endgame, and then briefly in Thor Ragnarok in addition to Guardians 3. And now that you're mentioning that, I completely forgot that detail about Thanos. It is all kind of coming together, making sense. So I can kind of remove that strike against the episode, I suppose, because I guess that means the Guardians never formed, because Thanos was eliminated earlier on. I guess you can question how Ronan was suddenly able to overthrow Thanos, but you know that's fine.
Yeah, there's a lot of different stuff to nitpick. Like the point I just made of like them all being trapped under this dome. It's like, why are all these space characters here in the first place? They're all in different parts of the galaxy.
That's true.
You know, but I was going to say that even with the space stuff, there almost seems like there's this division where there's just like Kree and Skrull stuff, and that's connected to Captain Marvel. And for some reason, audiences haven't really clicked with that as much. I guess because there's like this negative thought towards Captain Marvel, and then boy was that Secret Invasion show horrible. But then like the stuff that's connected to all the Guardians things and Thanos, people really eat that stuff up, and that's the main part of this show. Even though Ronan is a Kree and you have Yon-Rogg who's a Kree too, it's still, you're still kind of more with like these, like, you know, Howard the Duck and Drax, and just seeing like Drax and stuff makes people excited, you know.
Yeah, totally. I was excited when I saw him briefly, so
yeah. So, like, Nebula basically kidnaps Yon-Rogg so that they can go, I don't know, find... What was her intention in the first place? I can't even remember.
They found there was a plot to... someone was trying to hack into the... She found Yondu's arrow, and there was, like, a secret message in it. Eventually, Korg realizes it's a blueprint for the shield around the place. So, they're trying to find out who was trying to hack open the shield and stop them.
Yeah,
I don't know why going to the place where you can shut off the shield, it was helpful. But
Yeah, right. That's the thing. Like with guys like us, a lot of people like us nitpick shit and they're like, oh, this wouldn't make sense. But one of the rules of thumb, I can't remember where I've heard this in a video recently, but it's like if you don't care about the nitpicky stuff because you're so engaged by the characters and what's going on in the story, it doesn't matter. You know?
Yeah, and really too, if you compare these episodes to What If comics, you know, they are short. You know, they're one issue each for the most part.
Yeah,
and they do throw a lot of information at you in a very short amount of time here. That's kind of what happens here, I guess. Maybe I enjoyed the visuals and the idea of this setup so much that I almost wish it was his own show.
Yes.
And maybe that's why I was kind of disappointed that it all wraps up so quickly in 30 minutes.
Yes.
But really, like, that's what we should be expecting here. They should be wrapping these up in 30 minutes because that's what the comics did. They wrapped up in 22 pages.
Yeah, very good point. I know that there was like a Nebula miniseries recently in Marvel, but like if they were to use that Nebula character from the MCU as a book and they kind of channeled some of this into it, I think that'd be a really great book if you had a good writer on it.
Yeah. They already have the character looking like the MCU version.
Right.
I know that from reading the more recent Guardian series. So it would totally work.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the very end, she's got like her own little posse with Howard the Duck, and Howard the Duck was such a big part of this episode. Really funny. I didn't take the time to look up if his girlfriend in it is the girlfriend from the Howard the Duck movie. He calls her Mindy. Is that?
Yeah. That's a great question. I didn't even think about that.
Well, while you're looking that up, let me, I'll just kind of make my last point here, which is that, like, she's got this posse, then she's got, like, Yondu's coat, or she's got, like, a Ravager coat on, and she's got Yondu's fin. It's just this really great, like, kind of character arc for her that basically takes, like, three Guardians movies, but in this show, you get it within, like, 30 minutes.
That is not the character from the movie.
Okay. All right. Appreciate you looking
that up. Not Leah Thompson from the movie. So that's all I know.
Okay. Okay. He just calls her Mindy. Maybe she's in the comics or something.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. So was there anything else you wanted to say about this episode, or did you want to move on to the next one?
No, I think we can move on.
All right. You got it, my man. So we got What If Peter Quill Attacked Earth's Mightiest Heroes? Sneeze. A little under the weather. Hopefully I won't get too much snot on our podcaster.
As long as it doesn't get on me.
Yeah. There you go. So, this episode, we already, once again, we have more Guardian stuff. We have Peter Quill, we have Yondu, we have Ego. Did you like the Peter Quill stuff?
I like this episode. I probably would, I would say I liked it maybe a little less than the first episode. It's an interesting idea. I like that they played with the time frame and how, you know, and the team that does come together is actually who was around at that time.
Yes.
And they all sort of represent, you know, some of the major powers in the Avengers. It kind of, although it was not, you know, the timelines aren't connected in any way or similar in any way. It kind of reminded me of that, that's like Savage Avengers, you know, where it's like the initial formation of them in like 1 million BC or whatever the hell it was.
Oh. Yeah, the Jason Aaron, like, ancient Avengers thing.
Yeah. Well, I got that vibe from assembling this kind of different team in a different era, and I like that a lot. And again, a lot of people reprising their roles here. I was very surprised to hear Kurt Russell.
Yes, that was fantastic.
I guess I'm always surprised to hear, like, Chris Hemsworth, too. Like, he was in season one, and I forget that all the time because, you know, most of the – some of the more main Avengers obviously don't, like, you know, Tony Stark is not
right.
Robert Downey Jr.
Black Widow.
Chris Evans is not. Chris Evans and Black Widow don't, you know, they don't reprise their roles either. Everybody else does.
Yeah. Mark Ruffalo's in that next one too. But
Mark Ruffalo. So is Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
And who else was in this one? And this was actually the coolest part, I think, to me. I love how they've kept the consistency with the different actors for Howard Stark. So when they have, like, when he's really young, he's still played by
Preacher,
Dominic Cooper.
Yeah.
And then when he's older, he's played by John Slattery, which is great.
Yes. And then Peggy Carter is, like, always on these things too.
Yeah, she's in she's in multiple episodes every season, which I'm happy to see too.
Yeah, and then they have freaking Michael Douglas, like Academy Award winning actor Michael Douglas.
Yeah,
just playing Ant-Man. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
I love that team. Oh, go ahead.
One last cool little thing too. I know he wasn't a major part of the movies, but the actor playing T'Chaka is actually the son of the actor who played T'Chaka in the movies, which is really cool. Also,
yes, it's cool. I mean, there's a lot to actually unpack with this one. I love that. That's awesome that it's, like, consistent like that. But then the fact that they say, oh, your father is the one that gave us vibranium to make Captain America's shield. Then they talk about Captain America. Then friggin' Bucky is in this episode. And there's this whole thing where he's still the Winter Soldier. I love that so much.
Well, I also love that little scene, too, where, you know, where Peggy and Howard are like, wait, is that looks like Bucky. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't know. Like, I thought that was a really nice little detail they threw in there.
Yeah, and then basically he has this kind of crisis of conscience at the end where he's going to go shoot Peter Quill, and he has this one line that I loved. I was like, ooh, that's deep for a Marvel MCU Disney Plus show, where, like, they say something like, how would you feel, or how does it make you feel as a person? Or he says something like, there is no me, he says.
Yeah.
I love that line. Like, basically his identity has been erased because of the Winter Soldier program.
Yeah.
Is that Sebastian Stan?
Yep, that's him.
Oh my God, yeah. And then that's freaking Lawrence Fishburne too, right?
Yep, that's him as well, yeah.
They bring them all back. Okay, so here's one thing I was going to bring up. The What If comics usually end up on a kind of a pessimistic note a lot of times. They usually have bad endings. Were you kind of surprised that each of these had positive endings?
I feel like most of the ones in the first season had positive endings too. I think it's just it's probably more palatable for the kind of audience they're going for. The kind of more casual viewer, I guess. So yeah. I'm not surprised or disappointed by it, but I mean, I guess I wouldn't mind if they have some that end more traditionally like the What If stories do.
Yeah. Because like you would think for some reason, bringing together a team of Avengers that are not the Avengers, you would think that they would fail. Right. Especially because like, it's interesting because you're watching this and you see Peter Quill being evil. You see that Ego destroys his mother's headphones and you think that like, he's going to be this evil version of Star-Lord. But then essentially he is just young Peter Quill still, even though he's been kind of corrupted by Ego. But the whole time you're sitting there thinking, oh, are they going to try to like appeal to his humanity? And then he's actually going to be this cold being and kill them all. Or are they going to win? So it goes kind of back and forth. I knew that once they introduced Wasp or like Janet Van Dyne, once they introduced her. Oh, I'm so sorry. You're right. Hope Van Dyne. Once they introduced her, I was like, oh, she's going to have a connection with him. And then that's going to kind of turn him around.
Yeah. But, although that was the one thing that bothered me about the episode in terms of logic. Well, not necessarily logic, but just she's just like prancing around in this shield base.
Oh,
she
yeah.
stole her dad's car. And she's like, oh, there's a kid here. Let's let him out so he can play.
Yeah. And this maximum security cell of the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some security shield. Way to go.
Yeah, yeah. And we didn't even mention the fact that Mar-Vell, right? What's her first? Is her name just Mar-Vell or? Annette Bening's character.
Yeah, it's obviously not. It's Wendy Lawson. So I don't think they give her. They don't mention her Cree name if she had one in the movie. I don't remember.
Yeah, but I mean, that's friggin' Annette Bening, too.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. It's someone that sounds just like Annette Bening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a fucking awesome team. And, like, honestly, here's the thing, right? I just had, like, a goofball fanboy of, like, oh, if they made a Nebula comic, I'd read it. Oh, if they – but, like, honestly, if you had a good writer and you had this fucking team, I would enjoy this team.
Yeah, I mean, especially if their goal is to go into space and combat things that are out there, you know?
Yeah.
You know, to fight Ego, the planet version, I would absolutely read that.
Yeah. So, I mean – you said that you didn't like this one as much as the first. I actually like this one the best out of all three.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So you want to get to the third one and then we'll, that's what we do on this channel. What if Happy Hogan saved Christmas, otherwise Die Hard Avengers style?
Yeah. Die Hulk.
Die Hulk. There you go. Nice, nice, nice. So you said this was your least favorite of the three?
Yeah, it was just kind of, I don't know. I guess I wasn't as interested in it. So the premise generally is Happy Hogan is in charge of setting up this like party for around Christmas time to kind of bring up morale after all the events that the Avengers have faced over the years, whatever time frame you're talking about here.
Yeah.
Somehow Darcy is there as well.
Yeah.
Which I'm happy to have Kat Dennings show up again. I thought she was funny in the episode. But, and, you know, we see Maria Hill again, which is nice. But, yeah, I don't know. Justin Hammer is the villain, and it's just like foiling a party, sort of, you know. I don't know. It was fine. It wasn't bad. It was just maybe a little goofy, maybe a little more lighthearted.
Right.
That's all.
I felt like there were too many, they did the same jokes too many times. Like there was too many jokes about Darcy not having a real job. You know, it's like, it's a very simple concept. It's basically like Justin Hammer comes back and tries to take over Avengers Tower to get some Hulk blood. And then Happy has to save the day. And it's just like, all these little goofy things that he runs into. And you brought up, like, you know, when this takes place. I was trying to figure out when this took place too. I'm thinking that it's pre Age of Ultron, right? Because
yes,
right.
I mean, to me, this was the party at the beginning of Age of Ultron.
Okay. Yeah. Was that a Christmas party?
Well, I don't think it was a Christmas party, but that was the closest approximation I can get to, you know, when it might have taken place, especially with the team involved.
Yeah.
You know, Bruce and Tony working together. That was that prime time for that.
Yeah.
So it seems to me that that's around where it would have taken place.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because this one intentionally copies Die Hard. You know, he's like, Happy's crawling around. Now you're going to tell me that's not John Favreau.
It is.
Okay. Like, but he's crawling around an event at, like, he even says something just like John McClane at one point. He's like, oh, we're going to have a Christmas party. It's going to be fun. Have a few laughs. Right. He says that, when, Justin Hammer falls off the building, it's just like when Alan Rickman falls off the building.
Yeah,
and you know,
yeah, yep. Except he saves him.
He does save him, right. It's funny. It's just kind of goofy, and I like that it was on Christmas Eve, even though I didn't watch it on Christmas Eve.
I didn't either. Yeah. I think when you take that context of it being on Christmas Eve, I think it makes it a lot more fitting. It's a Christmas story. It's a little more lighthearted and a little more fun.
Right.
That's fine. But I would rank this third, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, we'll do our rankings in one second. I just wanted to kind of point out, like, seeing Maria Hill, and I'm trying to think who else we saw in this episode. Like, it just is kind of a reminder of characters that are just gone now because they're dead. Some of them, like Tony Stark, is dead. Maria Hill is dead. Right. And then there's a couple of times where it's like, oh, well, the way they died is pretty lame. And when I see Maria Hill, I'm like, oh, yeah, she got killed off in Secret Invasion. That was really lame.
Yeah, but it was a shocking thing to happen in the episode. But yeah, it wasn't the best use of a death, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, this episode in particular just kind of reminded me of the excitement that we really had in that period of time between, like, Age of Ultron and Endgame, where it was just like, oh, they can't fail. Everything they're doing is exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So as far as the rankings go, I'm guessing, just based on what you've told me, that 3 would be this one, then 2 would be – you're just going in reverse order, like 3, the yeah. Avengers 1, and then yep, – okay.
1, 2, 3, just descending order so far.
Yeah, and then for me it's 3 is this one, then the first episode is number 2, and then number 1 is the Earth's Mightiest Heroes one.
Got it. Yeah. No, yeah. I'm not too far off on the first two, honestly. And this, it wasn't bad either. You know, they're just, it was just a fun kind of middle of the road episode.
Yeah. Do you still appreciate the Watcher's little narrations too?
Yes. And I still love when he pops up in the background as he narrates. That's my favorite thing in the show.
Yes.
Those backgrounds always look fantastic whenever he's in the background. Like, there was one, I think it was in the third episode, where he's in like a back of it, like the skyline in the city.
Yeah.
Great visual.
Yeah. And we didn't talk about the animation. We talked a lot about the voice actors, but do you not like this animation style, or you do?
I typically don't like 3D animation in this because it's very expensive to make character models. So there's a lot less thing. There's a lot less things in the background, and they have to reuse models a lot. Like, particularly a good example is in the first episode when Nebula goes to jail. All the guards looked exactly the same. Things like that. All the Stark guards that, you know, that Ultron takes over in the movie, but, you know, Justin Hammer does here. Obviously they're going to look the same, but, you know, they have to do things like that and write around that because there's limitations with the number of characters they can use and budgetary constraints like that. That's why I don't like it. I prefer when you can just draw a bunch of people in the background and just, it just looks more, more lived in, I guess.
Yeah. I agree. Is it 3D animation for the characters in the Tomorrowverse stuff too? Or is that like,
no, that's hand drawn.
That's hand-drawn? Okay. Because I was wondering why all those fucking Nazis look like the same guy.
Yeah, no, that still is a thing that will happen because it still is easier to have a bunch of people draw one thing than have them draw all these different things. But a lot of the time you'll still see like vehicles and like planes and cars and all that kind of stuff. You'll still see things like that in CG, but you'll see the characters like drawn. Yeah. I'm fine with that. It's really just when they have to build out these 3D models for the characters, you know, generally the ones for the main characters look great and it's fine and all that, but everything that's kind of, you know, on the side or it kind of suffers for it.
Yeah. 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 It's not like the old days, like when we used to watch our Transformers cartoons and.
Yeah, no, there would just always be random weird people in the background and it's just, everyone would look different. They could have so many characters,
yeah,
you know, changing every episode. That's what my favorite thing is about 2D animation.
Yeah, and boy, do I wish that I wasn't going immediately to another recording after this because I want to fucking talk to you about the Energon Universe comics.
Oh, I didn't watch Duke. I didn't read Duke yet. I'll read it right now.
Doesn't matter. Okay, good. And I want to talk to you about Snap too because some interesting shit happened on Snap today with me too, but.
Ooh, okay.
We'll save that for another time. But anyway, Brian, it's been 2023, you and me, 64 fucking episodes.
65.
There you go. And it's been a real pleasure. I'm looking forward to 2024 with you. You guys, if you want to watch us with What If episodes 4, 5, and 6, you can check us out next week. But
we'll forget the long Halloween part 2 at some point.
Exactly. Yes, we're still doing our Tomorrowverse. But yeah, you want to wish everybody a merry, happy New Year, and
to all the ones of people that listen to us, happy New Year!
Thanks, Kristen. Thanks for watching, and Danny, who we're about to record with. You guys are awesome. Happy New Year!